Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm here. Barry's here.
Hello.
Producer Max is here.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah, thanks, Max. What do you think of the show today, Barry?
It was great.
Yeah, really good one, wasn't it? And one of our best, I reckon. What was your favourite part of it?
The bit where Francis Benali and Matthew Letizia admitted they actually hate each other.
Yeah, that was surprising. What was surprising was they both rang the show, wasn't it, to tell us?
Yeah, we didn't get in touch with them at all. Yeah,
no, we didn't. But I suppose that might not make the podcast.
And then Gail Em's admitting that she
loved you.
She has a crush on me.
Yeah. Nice. And then Jonas Olsen ringing us up to say he'd signed a modelling contract. That was a big moment as well.
Yeah, and none of those. But the show was so good that none of those bits would be on the podcast.
Yeah. The main reason for that is it's actually 10:45 now, and we haven't done the show yet, so it might be a pile of crap. I don't know why I swore there. I feel I've let the side down. Anyway, look, I've got to go early, so we're doing this bit now. We've got no idea if the show was any good or not, but thanks for listening to it, and here it is.
On DAB Digital Radio and 1089 and 1053 AM, The Warm-Up with Max Rushton on TalkSport.
Taking Ray Stubbs to another place, this is The Warm-Up Megazade. We've lost the dressing room. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the world's biggest sports radio station. My name is Max Rushton. Alongside me, The Guardian's Barry Glendening. Today, the first piece of major silverware up for grabs, Southampton or Manchester United. Barry, who's going to win it?
Manchester United are going to win it.
Who do you want to win it?
I'm not that bothered. I just want football to be the winner, Max.
Do you know me. Do you think football will be the winner? I've got a funny feeling it'll be quite a tight, cagey encounter.
Probably, but you never know. I hope to see football going up those steps and hoisting that trophy the end of...
Have you had a nice week?
120 minutes of scintillating...
There's been much football stuff.
There's been
a lot of sport this week. I've been quite enjoying you on the Twitter, Barry. I liked your thoughts on not just the football, on the Rory McIlroy Donald Trump golf match. Were you saying a lot of journalists have been quite pious about the fact he went and had a game of golf, and actually, as the inquisitive part of you, would just want to spend that amount
of time?
Well,
there's a journalist friend of mine who was outraged that Rory McIlroy played a round of golf with Donald Trump, and I can see his point. You know, he's validating the office of this very pleasant man, and I'm not necessarily sure that's a decent thing. But I asked him if he, given the opportunity, would play a round of golf with Donald Trump, and he said he wouldn't. And I claimed that he wasn't necessarily being honest, because I think any journalist worth their salt, a sports journalist, if given the opportunity to play sport for four and a half hours with Donald Trump, natural curiosity would get the better of them and they would go and do so they could see what makes the man tick. You can tell a lot about the measure of a man by the way he comports and conducts himself on a golf course, Max.
Would you share the buggy with Donald, or would you like have a bit of time off? Do you know what I mean? Would you be in the other buggy?
I've never actually played
a round of golf.
No, I have played a round of golf. I haven't played in many years. I used to play when I was sort of in my teens. But I never played in the kind of place that had a buggy.
It ruins the whole game because it's more fun.
I used to haul my own bag around on my shoulder, you know. I didn't even have one of those little pulley trolley things.
You had it tough, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. And then I used to caddy a bit to make some money. £10 a round, 20 if you were lucky, or if your guy won or played well or had lots of money. But
did you read the greens?
I knew the course. It's the only course I've ever known. It's the only course I've ever played on, actually. You've played all over the place with your, you know, you go on
my
charity golf days, which is basically a load of rich people gadding about having fun in the name of charity.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I guess.
Like, wasn't it a golf holiday where you had your famous fist bump with Steven Gerrard?
I did, yeah, in the toilet. Yeah, and then the other one where I had the, you know, where I roomed with Ian, the party meister, Dowie.
Oh, dog. Yeah.
Would you like the agenda for today's show?
Yeah. Sorry, would you play golf with Donald Trump?
Yeah.
And what if people said, you know, oh, it, you're validating...
I would wait until the fifth hole and then I'd say, you know, just why don't you be nice, a bit nicer? You know, I'd get to know him over four holes and then I'd say, go on. But apparently he cheats all the time, doesn't he? Marina Hyde wrote a piece saying that, you know, he whacks one into the rough and then appears to be in the middle of the fairway. and then he goes, oh, I got a two. And you're like, what?
Samuel L. Jackson and Alice Cooper, who have played with him, both said, not in so many words, but certainly implied that he was the biggest cheat they'd ever played with. I mean, cheating at golf is just outrageous.
All right, here's the agenda for the show. Obviously, you know, Donald isn't here to deny that, so if you can. 08717 2223. We don't want to be banned. We don't want TalkSport to be banned from his next press briefing, do we? The moose will be there going, I want to know what the food's like at the White House, and he's not allowed in because the two
moose
of us...
will be sidling up to stand beside him and take one of those surreptitious selfies so he can pretend they're great buddies.
Happy birthday to my great friend Donald Trump. Donald's on to the other side of a room and the moose is there. The text says, now that's the annoying sports stuff out the way, you can get on with the rest of the show. You know the show very well. Here's a 10-point agenda. How the show works is we have an agenda. If we achieve everything on it, well done us. If we don't, it doesn't matter because nothing really matters.
And I was running late today, so I'm hearing the agenda for the first time. I'm coming into this cold.
Point one, we review last week's show. Point two, Max and Barry's Premier League review is here. Do you have notes?
No.
Oh, good. Point three, have you watched any football?
I have mental notes. Oh, good. And I've watched some football.
We'll find out what Alan McInally is wearing and get the odds for today's games. Point four, we look ahead to the EFL Cup final with a Southampton supporting comedian. Point five, we find out if David James has more tellies than David O'Leary. Point six, back to the bread and butter of the league with guest the attendance. Will Justin Morehouse attend? We're waiting on an official statement from Justin after what happened last week. Point seven, we raise our game for the Ben Shepherd 3 minutes. Point eight, comedian, actor, and one of our two Manchester United correspondents, Lee Boardman, is here. Point nine, Barry finishes the show alone. The 10th point does not exist anymore. I'm not allowed to tell you about it. So just so you know, I've got to leave a little bit early, playing in a charity cricket match.
Yeah, not that you want to talk about it.
No, obviously not. I don't like to talk about it.
It's the middle of February.
Yeah.
Why are you playing cricket? It's raining.
It's called February Fools, and it's the David Adams leukemia appeal. It's been going for years, and there's a lot of sort of hilarious actors who are now about 92, getting very cold. And you know, we hope to have an 11-a-side, and it's 2020. Teddington Cricket Club, if you want to come. Anyway, that means you're going to do the last bit of the show alone.
How much of the show?
Like a minute.
Okay, so I need to say goodbye to the people.
Yeah.
And then hand over to...
The two mics. Yeah.
What if they bully me?
They almost certainly will.
Yes.
So you can hand over to them at 12:30 because the two mics are continually doing a show. It's just sometimes it's on air and sometimes it's just the two of them talking to each other. Let's... you just have to go through the agenda and find out. But if anybody wants to wish Barry luck, 81089 on the text.
I'm already stressing over this now. I'm a sidekick. This is the kind... I'm not ready for this kind of responsibility.
But sometimes you've got to test yourself at this level, Barry. Now, we know that everyone in football listens to this show. We like to just get a bit of feedback from people in the game of what they thought of last week's show. I mean, I can't remember it.
Would you play badminton with Robert Mugabe?
That's a tough... So what you're saying, golf with Trump is all right, but...
Well, no, I'm not saying anything. Okay. I've made my... See, I'm a journalist. I can hide, masquerade as a fact-finding machine if anyone calls me out on it.
Would you play swing ball with Stalin?
No.
Okay, so I don't think I would play... what was the game?
Badminton with Robert Mugabe.
I mean, I think I'd take him, I'll be honest. I was quite good at badminton in my time.
I never liked...
But no.
What if he got coaching from...
Gail Emms,
friend of the show.
I don't know if Gail would do that. We should check with Gail if she would do that. Anyway, look, a lot of people in the game... I've asked a lot of people this week in the game what they thought of last week's show. You're going to hear now the thoughts of the warm-up with Max and Barry from Mick McCarthy, Arsene Wenger, Steve Bruce, Gylfi Sigurdsson.
It's simply not good enough.
Really bad, if I'm going to be honest.
It's no good, is it?
I didn't like it at all.
Oh, well. Look. But, you know, it's something to build on,
harsh,
isn't it, Barry?
Talk Sport. Max and Barry's Premier League review on Talk Sport.
David Collins writes, would you play Sabutio with Kim Jong-un? See, he's quite of a size, isn't he? I think he would break a lot of the players when he leant over to take a shot from the edge of the box. He'd sort of squash half his defenders.
Well, didn't he famously go play 18 holes in like 32 shots or something?
He got 8 holes in one, yeah, or something, yeah. So he's, look, he's got sporting ability. Jay on the M6, Twister with Theresa May?
No.
Okay.
I'm just looking on the Twitter here. Franny Benali and Mrs. Benali are off. They're stuck on the M3, which is a mass convoy of red and white Southampton. So if you're stuck on the M3 in a convoy with Francis Benali, our very good wishes go out to you.
If you are in the car next to Francis Benali, please call us 08717 223 344. If it's a standstill, obviously, you could pass the phone to Francis and back, and it'd be a nice way for us to talk to him. I mean, we could always just call him.
But I don't think he'd take our call, but if someone else...
Yeah, that's absolutely right. If you see Francis, let us know. Before we look at the games yesterday, Barry, there was a bit on Match of the Day where Aaron Shearer said, look, and he's not the first pundit. I think every pundit I've heard talking about Leicester City has said pretty much the same phrase. Can those players look at themselves in the mirror, or can they take a long, hard look at themselves in the mirror? A lot of people want the entire Leicester squad to just look at themselves in the mirror. When you are analysing yourself, Barry, you know, as to whether you've done the right thing or the wrong thing, do you need to be looking in the mirror to decide whether you've put enough effort in for today's show or you know, whatever?
I actually have an account, my local mirror emporium.
I spend
so long navel gazing, introspection, those long periods that I wear mirrors out. You know, they start to blur.
I just don't. I think if you
it's a figure of speech, Max, okay, as you well know.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Anyway, well, that was the point. Ruined my.
But I think if several of those Leicester players on current form would miss the mirror, so to speak. They would try to look in the mirror, but end up looking in a food blender or picture of a bowl of fruit instead.
All right, let's. I've got the notes for last week.
Say, if Jamie Vardy was looking, do you think his introspection as he looks in the mirror would be slightly tempered by the fact that he could go, yeah, I do look a bit like old man Steptoe?
I'm not sure at what point he thinks that when he's taking a long look at himself in the mirror.
Did you see Kasper Schmeichel's interview on Sky yesterday?
No, I didn't actually.
It was quite interesting. Jeff Shreves was asking the probing questions, and Jeff was asking him, you know, is it true that you and other senior players attempted to undermine the manager? And Kasper, first he went bright red, which I thought was quite telling.
Yeah.
Like he visibly blushed, which, I don't know, maybe a sign of guilt. Maybe it was just quite warm in the room. And then he said he was very disappointed with these rumours. And then he was invited on 4 different occasions to deny the rumours he was very disappointed with, but didn't. Just sort of fudged and faffed around.
A lot of people said, oh, this is finally the game's gone. You know, this is the final nail.
Oh, no, I think the game went a long, long time ago.
I mean, there seemed to be lots of games happening today. I wasn't surprised.
What, you thought that the...
I wasn't surprised that Claudio Ranieri got sacked. A lot of people said this was the most shocking thing in the world. I think in 20 years they'll look back and think they shouldn't have done that.
Well, I think both sides of the argument are very valid. Like, I mean, I don't think anyone can say he wasn't treated shabbily, but I also think that Leicester fans who say, yeah, we would have gone down, we have to do something, they have a valid point. I just think the way it was done was very, very grubby.
But
I have spoken.
When Alan Kirbishley lifts the Champions League trophy in 2 months for Leicester, that will be the story, won't it? Let's look at yesterday's games. You don't have your notes. Why not?
I didn't make any notes.
Okay.
I was busy yesterday evening.
Should we start at the top of the Premier League? Chelsea, 3-1 win over Swansea. My first note, Barry, is, you know, we were looking at the hair gel of George Boyd and Joey Barton the other week.
Yeah.
I think Thibaut Courtois may use the most product of all Premier League footballers. It's very, it's just perfect.
Does it look, though, a bit too encased? Does he look like a Lego man?
Yeah, a tiny bit, yeah.
Yeah, but then I would say it's too much.
Yes, but I'm just sort of saying quantity. I'm not saying best. I'm just saying he uses the most before a match.
Okay. Like, do you think he has a big tub?
Mm-hmm.
And before he puts his glove on,
yeah,
he just scoops out. Because then you have to go...
No, I think he has someone who does it for him.
You have to go and wash it all
off. I reckon David Luiz does it for him.
David Luiz is not a man who looks like he knows his way around a tub of hair gel.
My next note was that Fabianski had a good game, and I wrote that before he let
him in.
He was having a really good game, and then he let that one in from Pedro, which is a shame for him.
I thought Swansea would get something for that game, and I thought they would get something for that game, and if they had, I then thought Manchester United would win the title. So I'm blaming Lucas Fabianski for Manchester United's inability to win the title.
There was a great bit of pub football where Alfie Mawson was lying on the floor and so was Diego Costa, and they were both just kicking each other and the ball wasn't going anywhere. And they just... I mean, I think the ref really, as a purist, should just let it go because it would have gone for half an hour. That. But look, well done, Chelsea. Everton 2...
And now, sorry, people don't talk about referees enough, I think. I'm just wondering, should Swansea have had a penalty when it was 1-0?
I didn't think it was. What do you think?
I thought it was.
Okay. I mean, that's the beauty, yeah, of it. You can debate it in the pubs up and down the country. Everton 2, Swansea 0. Sunderland, sorry. Were you disappointed with that, Barry? You were a little bit unlucky, weren't you?
I wasn't particularly disappointed or surprised. I mean, Sunderland, people probably heard the story that they had 2 weeks off.
Mm-hmm. They went to New York.
Went to New York, yeah. Cycled around Central Park,
yeah.
Drank coffee with, you know, Phoebe and Monica. They went to an ice hockey game. They went to a basketball game. They went to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, good for them.
Perform a gig. Oh. And I thought, yes, they really deserve that that little jolly up. You know, it was all done in the interest of team bonding. And I think I'm probably not the only Sunderland fan around who thinks having them line up at the training ground at 7 o'clock in the morning and then have fans beat them around the perimeter with sticks on really long training runs would be slightly more character
building. Are you saying whoever organised that, maybe David Moyes, needs to take a good long look at himself in the mirror?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes, but not in the mirror, mirror on the wall of a cold dressing room.
Not one in the Trump Hotel.
Yeah. And then when they came home,
mm-hmm,
it was announced that an unspecified number of staff at Sunderland, you know, not players, obviously, more, and I use the word in inverted commas, menial staff, were going to be made redundant. So I was thinking...
The timing is poor there.
Timing is poor. Those players really need to put in a performance and beat Everton, and they failed to do so.
Hmm. Although Everton are a good side. I like when Ndong conceded that corner. On the halfway line, turned and just booted it out for a corner. Seemed to be the right thing to do. Should we do one more? West Brom 2, Bournemouth 1. I wanted to praise Mark Clattenburg here because he's clearly just doing working 2 months' notice.
Yes.
And I've said this already. Most people who are working 2 months' notice, you know, it would just be sitting in the centre circle on Facebook. You know, it wouldn't bother at all, actually. But his positioning is better than most players.
And the thing is, like, he'd already, in his head, gone to Saudi Arabia.
Mm.
And then he goes to the Hawthorns, the coldest, highest ground in the UK. So it couldn't be less like what he was expecting to be doing yesterday. And he still did it quite well.
Talk Sport. Are you ready then?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's play. Okay. Peter Shurtliff.
Darren Eady.
Alan Harper.
Gary Bannister.
Trevor Putney.
Trevor Morley.
Steve Potts.
Tim Breaker.
Scott Oakes.
Scott Sellers.
Dave Bennett.
Mitch Davray.
Trevor Hebbard.
Eric Young.
Steve Anthrobus.
Brian Kilcline.
Phil King.
Liam O'Brien.
Danny Maddox.
Phil Starbuck.
George Parris.
Ian Butterworth.
Frank Yallop.
Ian Ormondroyd.
Alan Kernahan.
Tommy Gaynor.
Ian Culverhouse. Yes. Well played, Barry.
There was a few good gambits there. Talk Sport.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is the warm-up on TalkSport. Max Rushton and Barry Glendenning. In a second, we'll find out if David James is nice. He's our contestant. Get some feedback on Ian Culverhouse before then. We've had some feedback, Barry, from Matt in Cranley. It's not the best. But he also he's had a couple of typos with his predictive text, which means we can read it out. We wouldn't be able to if his predictive text hadn't corrected it. But he writes, they pay you, foot this shot. Question mark. Thanks very much, Matt. Look, we welcome all feedback, positive and negative.
Paul McCann.
Yeah.
Surely no trips to New York to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers for Barry Glendenning after that dismal Culverhouse.
Milton says, now that is what I pay my Culverhouse subscription for. Back on top.
You did well in that game, actually, because I was sure I'd got you down the Peter Fear cul-de-sac.
Oh, really?
And you didn't. You saw
I got out
my
of it.
Strategy. Mm.
Neil Christmas says, hey, you should play that Culverhouse game with London tube stations. That's a ridiculous idea. Joshua says, sometimes Culverhouse beggars belief. Edie Bannister and Kilcline and Barry still lost. I think he's lost the dressing room. Adam Barry says, can you please explain the rules to Culverhouse? I don't have a clue listening to it. Go to the website, talksport.com/warmup, for that. Rob says, one of the best Culverhouses ever. The tension almost killed me. I'm well up for the cup final now. Cheers, lads. We'll get more reaction to that as it comes in. But right now, let's play footballers are nice. Today's contestant is the former England goalkeeper, David James. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm very well. I'm nervous, actually.
Right,
nervous. I didn't realise this was a competition to start with.
Yeah, well, look, we've had some big players on, haven't we, over the years? You'll do well.
Define big. I was playing darts at the Circus Tavern Thursday, whenever it was, and some big players there.
Okay, well, I'm saying, you know, who's the biggest we've had on this? Do you reckon? I mean, both fame wise and weight wise.
Well, with Andy Reid last week.
he
ticks both boxes.
Doesn't he? That's what you're up against. Okay, David, the way this works, it's pretty simple. It's been going for almost 3 years now, or maybe 4 years. You know, we're just trying to find nice footballers. Footballers get a bad press sometimes. So we begin by asking you a very technical question, David James.
Okay.
Are you nice?
Course, truth. What a difficult question that is.
It is, yeah.
Now, Andy Reid last week, David, he told us about these toilets he built in Nigeria.
Ghana.
And now he thinks he's Bob Geldof.
Mm-hmm.
Did he personally build them?
I think
he didn't go into the specifics.
He didn't give us all the detail.
He may have paid a plumber.
Yeah, possibly.
Oh, all right.
Or you know, he just gave some money to Comic Relief. We've had, you know, Asmir Begovic. You know, he had got his own foundation. Mickey Quinn just asked for money, so he didn't quite get the gist of it particularly. So where are you on that?
I do have my own foundation.
Oh, there you go.
Set up in Malawi. It's got to be nearly 10 years old now. Actually, an agricultural foundation where one of my mates, Nick the Farmer from Devon, helped set that up to help people educate them on agricultural and issues and better food production. Yeah.
So
I'm looking, actually, interesting, yeah. Right? I know there's not too much of a link to current events with regards to football in this quiz, but the cup final today, which I don't even know why I'm going, because Man United and Southampton, I mean, they're not two of my favourite teams. I'm sure a lot of their fans don't find me as their favourite other team goalkeeper, whatever. But my friends at Carabao are going to sponsor it next year, and I'm looking to do some foundation, some grassroots stuff with them as part of their sponsorship, which hopefully will be nice and beneficial to everyone who's involved in the English grassroots system. Do you know what I mean?
That is nice.
So, Jamie, when you're going to a match featuring two teams you're not particularly disposed towards, who do you want to win?
Well, do you know what? I'm actually trying to work out how I'm getting into the stadium, sort of undercover, and whether a pink golfing hat works. Who do I want to win? It's difficult, you know. I got a lot of stick from Southampton fans last time I was down at St Mary's. I don't know why, but I think it's because Portsmouth beat them all the time. And obviously with Manchester United, I think Manchester United, because I've still got some mates there.
Okay,
like James Ward-Prowse, I like him. I don't know, it's difficult. No,
it's tough. Well, I mean, maybe you'll find out, more importantly, if anybody sees David James in disguise going into Wembley, take a photo. Right, look, you've qualified to answer 15 questions that are unconnected now, David James, so congratulations for that. We'll start with question one. If Barry and I were to come round for dinner, David, what would you cook for us?
Curry. My daughter taught me how to cook curry.
Okay. With a cooking sauce, or is it all from scratch?
All from scratch.
Oh, great.
If you were coming to our house for dinner, David, and we asked if there was anything in particular you didn't want to eat, what would you say?
Oh. I don't like radishes for some reason. I find them awkward.
Radishes. Your radish surprise. Okay, radish and coriander salad for David James, and we watch as you awkwardly push it around your plate. David, do you do your own laundry?
Yes.
Okay, good.
When did you last
take... All of it. Do you know, I'm the best ironer in the world.
In the world?
Well, yeah. Well, I haven't come up against another ironer who's good as me.
And were you talking speed, or are you talking quality?
We're talking quality, folding, you know, it's like it just come out of the packet.
Well, I would go down and film ironing with David James, and we could pitch it to Dave. You could get a 6-episode series out of that, I reckon.
I reckon we could. We could work on socks and work our way up to jackets.
Iron your own socks?
Well, I haven't ironed too many socks, but occasionally, especially if they come out the dryer and are a bit damp, you can iron them dry.
Okay. Are you in ironed socks right now, or have you gone natural, crumpled?
They're sort of natural.
Okay, good.
David, when did you last take public transport, like a bus?
Last night.
Good. I
went to the opera.
We got a text saying you went to the opera.
Yeah, the English National Opera. So my first opera was amazing, Rigoletto. Oh. And I've got to say, I mean, this works two ways. I've got the train and the underground down before the show,
mm-hmm.
which was all right. I don't mind jumping on the underground, but I wouldn't get the underground on the way back Saturday night with people who've had a couple too many drinks.
Oh, really?
I might just bump into one or two of the fans who didn't like me when I was playing, so I just kind of think it's probably better that I jump in the sherbet.
So it's true, you know, Mail Online will be running David James fears for his life on public transport now. Danny and Hearts has texted, is David James curry from ground spices or a paste? Important.
Oh, I'm going to say a paste.
Okay.
Now,
David.
I only make it with doors around, so yeah.
Okay. What's your favourite insect, David?
Favourite insect?
Mm.
Caterpillar.
Okay, good answer.
Do you own a onesie, David? And if so, do you wear it?
Oh, I hope so.
No, oh. To both.
What's your favourite?
Don't wear anyone else's either.
Okay. What's your favourite cheese?
Do you know what? I have a pizza. I order pizza with no cheese on.
What? That's just bread.
That's
just toast, David.
I'm actually not a cheese fan, so...
That's okay. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
You're on death row, David. Sorry about that. Innocent, obviously, but 1 hour to go. Which TV show will you settle down to watch?
Oh, I was going to say EastEnders, but then I'd be waiting for the next episode, wouldn't I? Mm.
You could get the omnibus.
Yeah. You could have two episodes.
If we could do an EastEnders with a really sort of bad ending, so I'm not thinking I'm missing something.
Okay. Okay, yeah, we can do that. If you could only eat one fruit for the rest of time, what would it be, David James?
I like apples a lot.
Okay, good. Any specific
apple? Pink Lady, or a brand? Is it
a Braben?
Braben, that's it. Yeah.
Derek Young says, "My mate saw David James through his window using a sewing machine when he lived in North London. Obviously, not just into ironing."
I do sewing as well.
Oh, wow. See, this TV show is really starting to take shape now, isn't it?
I sew my clothes up after I've ironed them badly. No,
is your wall like covered in tapestries that you've elaborately
stitched?
Funny
enough, I did a thing for a charity. I made some pillows for them. And what I didn't do was have a plan. So they're supposed to be identical pillows, which looks very different from each other. And that's my mum's fault. She bought me a sewing machine.
How many toilets do you have, David?
I only need one.
Oh, that's true. Mark Schwarzer's got 9, David.
Yeah. What's this? 9 toilets?
Yeah, Mark Schwarzer. 9 toilets.
Maybe we thought it might be a goalkeeper thing, but clearly just decadence on his part.
I've never heard David James lost for words, ever.
Okay. Well, I'm just, okay. Sorry.
Stunned. Stunned
some
at that.
Some people need more than one. I don't know.
Maybe the curry he makes is not the same curry that you make. Yeah. Do you have more? Sorry, Barry. Do you have more televisions than David O'Leary? He once boasted to Kaz that he had 11.
11 TVs.
Yeah.
Okay. No. I. Do you know what? I find that maybe I'm sort of getting into this sort of youthful thing. I find more internet stuff than TV stuff. EastEnders is a must, of course.
Yeah.
I'm too busy on the sewing machine and ironing stuff.
Dan in Weybridge has just texted to say, Haberdashery with David James. That's our TV show. Oh, I'm pitching that this afternoon. This is exciting.
Haberdashery.
What kind of pant do you prefer, David? Jockeys, boxers? Tight, loose? John Hartson goes commando, so does Perry Groves all the time.
Oh dear! No, I couldn't do that. I think you go for a nice short.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Did you mention that Hartson's always commando?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, yes, I did. Sorry, I was just reading.
Do you ever listen to
I don't know. Vicky in Birmingham texted to say my husband Kurt is the best ironer in the world. He would challenge David to an iron off. Up the blues. There you go, David.
See, that's just bitter. That is. See, that's wrong.
Vicky, she's come on here and she's had a go at you straight away. Are you better looking than West Brom's Jonas Olsen?
Is that a question?
Yes.
Yeah, written down here.
Okay. Well, the in the subject nature of the world, then I can't answer that. Yes or no.
Okay, right. That's fine.
I like looking at myself in the mirror. Put it that way.
Okay, fine.
That's an answer.
Do you smell nicer than Michael Carrick?
Do you know, I've having shared a change room with Michael Carrick. Michael Carrick is a lovely smelling guy.
Yeah, we knew it. We knew it.
Yeah, I can't challenge Michael in the smelling department.
Okay, that's good to know. Are you nicer than Linvoy Primus?
Oh, no, that's not fair, is it? He's the nicest man in the world.
Well, you're right. So you've got to answer the question. It's the final question, no. David.
No, I'm not nicer than Linvoy Primus. He was a massive unit, wonderful defender, smashed people, then apologised when he picked them up. He was lovely. He still is lovely, even.
He is. David, I know we're running late, so apologies. You were the subject of my favourite ever phone call to a phone-in when you just signed for Bristol City. And this Bristol City fan rang up. You lost 3-0 in the first game, I seem to remember.
Millwall, yeah.
Yeah. And the guy rings in, Bristol City fan. He says, David James, right? He comes in. It's David James, England international, right? He's 3-0 we've lost. It's a disgrace. He should be ashamed of himself. And whoever presented said, was he at fault for any of the goals? And the bloke went, oh, I wasn't at the game. listen, David, thank you so much for coming on. Good luck with your disguise. Did you win? Everyone's a winner on this show, David.
Oh, fantastic. Right. The day started well. Thank you for that.
Hey, no, not a problem. And look, I'll pitch haberdashery with David James to Dave or, you know, Men and Motors, if that's still on, and we'll see how that goes. Top man, thanks for your time. Enjoy the game in disguise. David James there. Makes his own pillows, one toilet. And no cheese on his pizza.
Talk Sport.
A bit of controversy here, Barry, David James and his niceness. Phil Holt says, I used to sell David all his electrical stuff from Curry's in Bromborough, and he still hasn't returned a Dyson bit that I loaned him. What do we do about that?
Well, vacuuming clearly isn't his strong point. Or maybe it is. I don't know. I'm speechless.
Lee says, how about darning with David for a programme? This is some controversy about the toilet question. Stead says, I switched on to see how many toilets David James has, radio at its finest. John wrote, I switched on to hear David James ask how many toilets he has. I switched the radio off again. You can't please everyone. A bit more of the Premier League review, Barry, because we didn't finish it. Crystal Palace, Middlesbrough. I am not happy about Middlesbrough in a yellow kit. I don't think there's any place for it in football. The game's gone.
I think just the very fact that Middlesbrough did something that has created a talking point is in itself makes their decision to wear yellow the correct one. Haven't been the most exciting team this year, have
no,
they?
No, you've got it in for them, haven't you? You hate them.
I'm indifferent. That's the problem.
Right.
It's just total indifference.
There's no...
You could show me a picture, the Middlesbrough team photo, you know, hook me up to all sorts of heart monitors, pulse machines, mm-hmm. Show me that picture, nothing.
Oh, just... I do like Adam Forshaw, though. Neat little centre midfielder.
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, that's my one shining light for me. Were you surprised to see Patrick Van Aanholt scoring a goal with his right foot? Is that anything he did for, as you like to call them, Sunderland?
He scored, I think, 3 this season, none with his right foot, as far as I know, for Sunderland, as far as I can remember.
The only other notes I have, Sacco's hair is marvellous, sort of tapestry with a blonde streak down the middle, and that was not a dive by James McArthur. A Hull Burnley! It crossed to Sean Dyche at one point, and he had his hands cupped around his mouth and was screaming, and I just thought... Part of me wanted my ear to be right in his cupped hands to see how loud and gravelly a Sean Dyche football shout would be if there was nowhere for the sound to go but just into your ear.
It would be quite frightening. Does cupping your hand actually work, though?
I don't know.
If you're shouting across a packed football stadium.
Lord Early says, got it. David James, from good goalkeeping to good housekeeping. He'll give us that TV show name in exchange for my ironing to be done. I don't have anything else on that. Beautiful. Michael King took his goal beautifully. Centre forward, like, just taking it down on his chest, where I think most centre-backs would have just gone for a header. And I was very sad that Tom Huddleston tried to place his penalty because he has a sweet shot and he should have just kicked it as hard as he can. Watford, West Ham. Did you enjoy this game, Barry?
I only saw about half an hour of it. Mm-hmm. The final 30 minutes. It was... All right. I have seen worse games of football.
On the hair gel watch, Jose Font, a lot on that. And I'm still workshopping my Fugulis based gag. I haven't come up with anything yet. That's your Premier League review. Max and Barry, we're here till one. After us, the two mics live from Wembley, building up the EFL Cup final, Southampton versus Manchester United. We'll chat to them in the next half hour. We'll keep you updated on Norwich.
So you know that you have to leave early.
Yeah.
Could we not just get the mics on to give us a taste of what's going to be on their show, and we could just sneak out while they're bickering for half an hour?
We'll give it a go. We'll try, see what happens.
And I also want to know about you leaving a minute. What are you going to get done in this minute?
I've got to get in the car and get to Teddington Cricket Club for this charity cricket match.
Why 60 seconds make
every
such a
second
huge...
counts? I also think it's a chance for you to shine. I'll be listening. Exciting times. Barry is to finish the show alone. Text us your thoughts if you think he can do it. Any sort of advice you want to give Barry Glendenning, or maybe you could be a caller and be on there so he's got someone to talk to.
Broadcasted from that exact spot before the Sunderland-Man City final.
We did, didn't we? Yes, we did. The day that Pardew headbutted David Myler.
Was it?
Yes, I seem to remember doing a phone-in about that.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was a good day. We had a nice time. We didn't go to the game.
I did.
Oh, yeah. You did. But you're a Sunderland fan.
Yeah. And we didn't have our first drink till just after the show ended.
Oh, professionals we are. All right. Time for Guess the Attendance. Now, if you remember last week, it was a cup game. So Barry and Justin Morehouse fielded weakened sides. Barry brought on a 15-year-old and Justin put his 11-year-old daughter on. And Barry's squad... Joe Barrett. He basically
bullied an 11-year-old.
As a result, Justin Morehouse is not on. Well, we're not. Maybe not as a result. He's just unavailable for selection
coincidentally.
Today.
Coincidentally,
yeah. But he did so well last week that 15-year-old Joe is on to take you on, Barry, in what must be a very difficult game for you because you blooded him, and now this might be the moment where you find out that he's better than you.
He's not better than me.
Joe, good afternoon.
I'm gonna crush him.
Afternoon, Joe.
Hiya.
Now, look, after last week, how has your life changed?
Well, I've been berated by Barry saying that I bullied a little girl.
Yeah.
Was the school assembly dedicated to you on Monday morning, Joe? Were you cheered through the school playground and lauded, lavished with awards?
Unfortunately, no.
Do girls fancy you now? Does food taste better? Do flowers smell nicer?
Well, it'd be weird if anyone in my school fancied me. I go to an all-boys school.
Okay. Well, I would say, Joe, potentially, from what I gauge from this, is that you and I, Barry, think Guess the Attendance is perhaps more important than it really is. Anyway, we'll crack on with it. Five games. It is Barry versus one of his YTS trainees, Joe, because Justin Morehouse is unavailable for selection. We asked for an official statement, nothing as yet. As soon as we get a statement from Justin Morehouse, we will let you know. To Villa Park, Aston Villa 1, Derby County 0. God, how Steve Bruce needed that victory. Bakuna sent off for Aston Villa, but they still won to a solitary James Chester goal. But how many people were there? Joe, the 15-year-old.
Sorry, can you repeat the game again?
Villa v Derby County. Derby County.
30,000. Yeah, about that, yeah.
30,000. What do you think, Barry?
Sorry, Joe, did you go 13 or 30?
30.
3-0. Okay. Because the figure I've written down is... 31,457.
The correct answer was 30,935. So that is just Barry, I think. Unlucky. Okay, into League One now. Bristol Rovers 1, Scunthorpe 1. Darren Dedman refereed it, but how many people were there? Barry.
A total stab in the dark. Mm-hmm. I will go... 14,250.
Joe?
10,215.
8,784. It's 1-1. As we go into League Two, a good win for Cambridge United at Barnet. Luke Berry scoring the 65th minute. Cambridge in touch of the playoff places. But how many people were there to see it? Joe?
3,252.
Barry?
I'm going to say more. I'm going to say 5,500.
2,396. 2-1 up, Joe. You're being beaten by a 15-year-old with no life experience at this stage, Barry. Let's go into the Premier League. West Brom versus Bournemouth. 2-1 to West Brom. Cracking first half. Cagey second half. They went one down. Josh King with a penalty. Goals from their centre-backs, Dawson and McCauley. Clattenburg reffed it beautifully. Did that change the attendance? Did some people go to watch Mark Clattenburg in his final few games in the Premier League? Barry, how many were there at the Hawthorns?
28,411.
Joe?
21,425.
24,162. It's an unassailable lead for Joe, but we go for the fifth game because that's how the game works. And I will take you to Celtic now, Celtic Park.
Oh.
2-0 win for Celtic over Hamilton Academical. Moussa Dembélé with his 2,000...
Joe's dad's a big Celtic
oh, really?
Fan. He probably nailed it.
I think that means 2,000 goals for Dembélé now, and Celtic are now 642 points clear at the top of the Scottish Premiership. But how many people were there, Joe?
Well, as I did for the little girl, I'm going to do to Barry.
Don't do it, one. Boy. Don't do it. Don't you dare tank this on purpose.
I'll give him one and say 31,456.
He's taking pity on you.
That's showboating. It's showboating.
That's Andrei Kanchelskis standing on the ball and just looking ahead. That's what he's done. Barry, do you want to take the point or not? Are you just going to say three?
I'll go 58,700.
54,685. The winner is Joe. Thanks very much. Well played, Joe. Ryan tweets to say, Bakuna sent off, but Villa still won. You realise he was sent off 1 minute from time, Max. Thank you very much. Great game. Well played, unlucky Barry. Beaten by a 15-year-old. But, you know, that's life. Maybe you're past it.
It's his speed. I can't cope with it. I read the game better, obviously.
Obviously. You know, the first 25 yards for you and guess the attendants are in the head. Whereas
I've got
the
first 25,000 people in my head.
He's just straight out there. Talk
Sport. They were the best bits of the show. Have a wonderful day. Cheers.